Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
On today's episode of the HR Room Podcast, we're going to be talking about what you should do when an employee isn't meeting expectations for whatever reason. It's an area that even the most experienced managers can struggle with from time to time, and it's certainly something that should be approached with a plan in mind. Joining us today, we have two of our most experienced HR consultants, Mary Cullen, who also founded Insight HR, and Liam Barton. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
So, Mary, as I mentioned, you founded Insight HR over 20 years ago now. In that time, you've probably dealt with a fair number of inquiries from employers who find themselves in the position of having to deal with such an issue. Do you get many clients coming to you about underperformance?
Yeah, we have a lot of clients coming to us about underperformance. And probably one of the most notable things about that, Sarah, is that they often leave seeking advice until the latest stages of underperformance. I think Irish managers aren't particularly good at addressing directly underperformance issues. So often they get to the point where there are significant problems before the manager tries to address them. And at that point, the employee possibly is unaware of their shortcomings. And you know, it makes the whole situation much more contentious, much more stressful from a management perspective. Can, I guess, ultimately lead the employer towards the WRC for the handling of those kind of issues.
Liam, I know that helping clients with disciplinary processes is one of your specialist areas. Perhaps you could talk us through the steps you would recommend to a manager when dealing with an underperforming employee.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the key starting points, which again, I would echo what Mary has said, some managers have a real difficulty with having an honest conversation with the employee. So I think they procrastinate and they put off that honest conversation because they think things will get better, and typically they don't. So I would start from the point of view of what is it you're trying to achieve in terms of performance improvement, and have a very honest conversation privately and confidentially with the employee, which is very, very important, because sometimes things can be overheard and mixed messages can be sent. So I would have a very honest but empathetic conversation with the employee pre the disciplinary process to avoid having to use the disciplinary process, and be very factual and non-subjective regarding the performance level that is currently being exhibited and what key improvements are needed. Outline the areas for improvement. And one of the things I would say is that you're going to have to give a reasonable period of time for the employee to address your concerns and to improve. And you're going to have to look at what resources are needed in terms of training and support, and try and understand the employee and what's really prompting the performance issue. Because I think sometimes we just assume an employee is not performing because they're not capable. I think we need to try and understand and diagnose whether it's, you know, a lack of motivation, a lack of technical skills. Is it a lack of confidence? Are there issues at home which may be affecting the particular employee? How long has the underperformance been going on for? Because as Mary has alluded to, if the performance issues have been going on for a long time, that makes it much more difficult to address the matter of concern. And if the employer has had that honest conversation and has provided feedback and the support mechanisms, then I think, unfortunately, if they don't see an appropriate improvement, they're into a disciplinary process. And we should do everything possible to try and avoid the disciplinary process. But the first step is having a very, very robust and honest conversation regarding what is needed in terms of performance improvement, and a very much an empathetic and supportive approach, not a heavy-handed or adversarial approach, because I don't think, Sarah, it works. And I think particularly after having that honest conversation, follow up in writing, explain explicitly what the conversation was about so that there's no confusion or ambiguity and that there are no surprises, and allow enough, afford an appropriate period of time. I would say you're generally talking 2 to 3 months to allow the employee to improve and give regular feedback. If at the end of that 2 or 3 month period, there hasn't been an appropriate improvement, then I think you're into a disciplinary process and you should read and understand the disciplinary process and follow it meticulously throughout the process.
So it kind of drives home the importance then of these regular performance reviews as well. Like, how often do you think that managers should be having those kind of performance reviews, even if there's not an issue necessarily that needs to be discussed? Like, performance reviews, do you think that they should be done monthly, bi-monthly?
Yeah, I mean, I think there would be a general view that I think a biannual sort of formal performance review where you're going to the performance targets and appraisals. But my advice is always to managers, we never stop the performance mm-hmm. management cycle. We're always looking for performance improvements and performance enhancements. And I think one of the difficulties, Sarah, is that, you know, there's almost a view among some managers, we do the performance review or appraisal once a year. We fill the form, we put it back into the filing cabinet or now online, and thanks be to goodness, we don't have to look at that for another 12 months. And the reality is, the better we do the performance management cycle, the more support we give to the employee, the less issues I find we have to take to a disciplinary process, because generally, the more clear the employee is regarding what is expected of them, the more direction and guidance they have from their manager, the less issues you have to deal with in a disciplinary context. One person put it very well to me one time, that if the disciplinary process has to be invoked, it's generally a sign that we've failed. So we've either failed in the recruitment process by hiring in the wrong type of person or candidate for the role, or we failed in the orientation and onboarding and performance support cycle. I suppose the function of the disciplinary process is never to exit anyone. It's to afford an appropriate opportunity for that person to perform and improve. My view would be, you typically do a biannual formal performance appraisal, but you're always performance managing, whether that's on a weekly basis with a one-to-one or a virtual cup of coffee, you're always looking for improvement. And the employee should never be in any doubt, in my view, regarding how they're performing within the role.
I imagine that sometimes, you know, kind of raising these issues, it can be quite a sensitive topic. Mary, would you say that honesty is always the best policy for a manager when talking to an employee?
Absolutely, Sarah. I think there's no other way that you can approach it. You know, honesty and sensitivity are different things, you know, and so when you're speaking to someone about their performance, you've got to remember that it's very personal to them. And although for a manager, a performance review period in which they're reviewing all of their team can be quite stressful because there's quite a lot of paperwork involved, and sometimes they're not really thinking through that actually this is very important to the person I'm speaking to. It's not all about whether or not I find it's cumbersome to put together the paperwork and submit it to HR when it's finished. So the sensitivity sometimes isn't there. So there is, it's important to be honest about, you know, the good and the bad in people's performance and constructively feed it back to them, so that the person understands what they're doing well, so they can continue it and be reinforced in their good performance and the areas that require development and improvement. And the exact same thing applies when you get into a disciplinary process. The honesty with which you approach all of those procedures is very important. Transparency and honesty from management, you know, leads to and engenders trust. And it's very important that when you manage people that they trust you. If they don't trust you, then you've got a whole range of other issues that you have to deal with. So I'm a real believer in honest, sincere, tactful feedback. And that's designed to help people improve. If you need to, you know, address matters formally through the disciplinary process, like Liam said, I totally agree. We failed somewhere along the line. And if we leave giving feedback until the latest stages when we're super frustrated by what someone hasn't done or how poorly they've done it or the attitude with which they're doing it, you know, you're more likely to struggle to get people to change after a prolonged period of time.
And of course, managers are humans and employees too. Liam, to get a little controversial for a minute, do you think that managers themselves are sometimes part of the problem?
They can be. They can be, Sarah. I think it's interesting that very often in industry, we come across that the person who's promoted is the person who has the best skill set from a technology or a technical point of view. But they're not necessarily always the best people managers or the best communicators or the people who, like Mary alluded to, can give feedback in a very constructive, empathetic and tactful way. And sometimes, Sarah, the people who get promoted within industry and become managers are very, very good at their job. And sometimes they can struggle, you know, tactfully guiding and encouraging people who are not quite as good as them. And that can sometimes be a source of great frustration to managers. So I think there's a key requirement for managers to empathetically try and understand the person they're managing. What are their motivations? You know, using open and closed questions, diagnosing with the employee what their motivations are, what they want to get out of their career, what type of progression within the organization they're looking for, and very much trying to gain buy-in and agreement from the employee. And I think one of the things within the organization, which we've discussed at Inside HR recently, is the whole area of culture, organizational culture. And, you know, what optics is the manager giving the particular employee? So are managers sometimes the problem? Yes, because they need to sometimes look in the mirror and saying, okay, well, how can I find better skills or tools to manage this particular employee? If they're not getting the desired level of performance, what type of encouragement or guidance or goal setting are they implementing with the particular employee? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So really managers have to challenge themselves, I think, and maybe think outside the box in terms of new initiatives that might promote a better level of performance from the employee.
And I think HR, Liam, you know, have a role to play in supporting management in a time when they're doing performance reviews and they may be under pressure. And I think HR and line management need to communicate more about the frustrations that line management feel when it comes to the performance management processes. Because if line managers see it as a paperwork exercise that they must fulfill because HR insists that they do so, and they don't see the inherent value themselves in the performance management cycle or process, then, you know, the organization is disjointed to some extent. And so many managers in so many organizations, from corporates down to SMEs, find it frustrating, the volume of performance reviews that they've got to do. And technology plays a really important part here too. You know, can we do things better? Can we minimize the amount of time managers have to spend in documenting the process? And can we get them more focused on the actual conversations? Because it's the conversations that matter ultimately to the employee.
Absolutely agree, Mary. Totally agree.
As we spoke about at the start of the episode, employers are sometimes, for many reasons, a bit reticent to formalise matters. And there's always the danger that that failure to act could lead to even bigger problems down the line. However, we've also heard of instances where an employee might sense that there is trouble afoot and try to bargain with the employer by suggesting a redundancy package. Mary, do you think that there's any way for the employer to avoid a lengthy performance improvement plan or disciplinary process without actually legally exposing themselves?
It's something that employers must be very, very careful about, because sometimes it seems like, oh, you know, great, that's the best option. Let's exit the employee and then we don't need to go through a 12-month process to ultimately dismiss someone if they're not able to do the job that they're paid to do. So I would always say, employer beware. If an employee approaches them about making their role redundant, the employer or the manager needs to ask themselves the question, is the role actually redundant or not? If you require somebody else in the future to fulfill that role, it's not redundant. So you can't make someone redundant. And so often we get asked about making a single individual redundant. And when we explore with the client, the problem is an underperforming employee. It is not the answer. However, you might be able to shortcut a process if you have a voluntary agreement with the employee that they will resign from their position in exchange for some form of a package, but not a redundancy package. And that can be agreed between the employer and the employee. But remember, you must have a legal agreement between you and the employee. And again, clients often say, you know, Mary or Liam, will you draft me up one of those agreements? And we'll be saying no, because it's a legal agreement that must be drafted by an appropriately qualified solicitor, ideally an employment solicitor. And when it's issued to the employee, the employee must take legal advice before signing it. So it's not just a quick fix. There is a process behind it, and at any point it can go wrong. And if the employer has approached the employee with the grand package to exit them in mind, and the employee rejects it, that can be introduced into a WRC hearing at a later stage, that the employer wanted rid of me in the first instance, and here is evidence of the fact they offered me an exit to leave quietly. And it's something that employers just need to think very, very carefully about before they accept any such proposition from an employee, or before considering offering something like that themselves.
Guys, that's about all we have time for today. But before we go, I'd like to give our listeners three key takeaways from today's episode. So I'm going to give that a shot now. Mary and Liam, please jump in if I've got any of these wrong. But key takeaway number one, so to carry out a performance improvement plan followed by a disciplinary process could take anything up to a year. So there really are no shortcuts when it comes to this kind of a matter. However, and key takeaway number two, if you are looking to kind of speed up the process, it's best if the employee approaches you, but you'll still need to put together a termination agreement and the employee must seek legal advice before signing. And key takeaway number three, and really this is the kind of underlying one, I suppose, that is that forewarned is forearmed. Preparation is key. The WRC can award up to 2 years' salary in the event of an unfair dismissal claim. So don't leave seeking advice until the last minute. Did I hit the nail on the head with those?
That sounds perfect.
Perfect,
to me.
Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank goodness for that. Well, Mary and Liam, thanks for sharing some great tips and advice. And I look forward to catching up with you both again soon.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.